You know, I saw someone here this morning, and I asked him, now, if you were here last week, you know, I talked about how I hated cold showers, and I had one last week and all that. I hate them, hate them, hate them. Anyway, I asked him, do I look any better after having a warm shower? He said, no, but you sure smell better. I think I smell the same. You know, back in August, we posed the question, who do you trust? In that series, we talked about the fact that many of us were trusting self and control or comfort and money more than we were trusting God. Many of us were convicted and challenged to trust God fully in our lives no matter what we face, and how that trusting God can be one thing that impacts others for Jesus. If they see us trusting God in impossible situations, it speaks to them. I found out that the longer that I serve Jesus, the more trustworthy I see him, the more confidence I have in him, and the less stress I experience as I go through the turbulence of life. How many of you know that there is turbulence in this life? It is. There's such freedom that comes when we fully trust God. This verse comes even more alive to me. In this Psalm of Thanksgiving, David writes this, Psalms 118:6 out of the New Living Translation, the Lord is for me, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere people do to me? And I know you're not supposed to add to Scripture, but I would add that what can mere circumstances do to me? Listen to the Amplified Version. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can mere men do to me? New International Version. Translation says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere human beings do to me? The Message Version says, God is now at my side and I am not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? God is my strong champion. There's real benefit in reading a verse in one translation and reading it in another. It really kind of opens things up for you. Now, every Sunday this month, we're going to dive even deeper into where our security lies. The truth is that many of us in this region of the country, and some more than others, are experiencing quite an upheaval from this recent storm. And along with that upheaval can come uncertainty. Insecurity, fear, concern, worry, anxiety, all kinds of things can happen. And if we're trusting in anything but God, things can get hard, terrifying, depressing, and they can become uncertain and unstable, just to say the least. I want us to remember the verse we stressed from last August, another quote from David. Psalms 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. Those are two key words, remember and trust. The truth is, when we remember what God has done, it's easier to trust him. Today we're going to talk about one of God's best features, his creative power. Creativity is a sought-after quality in every arena of our life. In your staff meetings, you love people that have creativity. They show us a different side of things. Sometimes they share too much, don't they? They just upset the apple cart too much. But we love that. We love it in business. We love it in hobbies. We love it in relationships. And you name it, creativity is craved and powerful. So why is creativity valuable? Because creativity brings unlimited surprise, excitement, opportunities, and options. It's creativity that keeps life interesting. Well, the truth is, our God is the creator of creativity. When the unexpected comes, our default nature is maybe to trust in chariots and horses, trust in those things in the natural. It's a natural response from our flesh. Now, David knew firsthand that powerful things in the natural don't hold a candle to the power of our God. I want to encourage you today that our God's creativity has not waned. It is still prevalent and available and powerful for his people. And I want you to hear this loud and clear. You are not limited to what has happened to you in the natural. You are not stuck in the natural circumstances or situation that you find yourself in. You are not bound by the hand that you've been dealt. Isn't that the exact opposite of what the enemy tells you? You've been dealt this hand, you just got to make the best of it. Or this is your lot in life. Or it has been passed down from your family. The enemy likes to create those tapes in our mind. We're not bound by the hand that we've been dealt. Our God hasn't lost His power. He hasn't lost His strength. He certainly hasn't lost His creativity. All we need to do is remind ourselves of God's creative power in the past. And therefore, it's easier to trust Him for the here and now and the future. So first and foremost, we must remember. To remember anything about God's creativity, we have to go back to the very beginning. This is how powerful God's creativity is. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. First this, God created the heavens and the earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke light. Light appeared. That is creation. He spoke light. Light appeared. God saw the light was good, and He separated light from dark. God named the light day. He named the dark night. It was evening and morning, day one. God spoke sky. In the middle of the waters, separate water from water, God made sky. He separated the water under sky from the water above the sky. There it was. He named sky the heavens. It was evening. It was morning, day two. God spoke, separate water beneath heaven, gather into one place, land appear. These are all creative words He is speaking. He spoke this world into existence. And there it was. God named the land earth. He named the pooled water ocean. God saw it was good. God spoke earth, green up. Grow all varieties of seed-bearing plants. Every sort of fruit-bearing tree. And there it was. Earth produced green seed-bearing plants, all varieties and fruit-bearing trees of all sorts. God saw that it was good. It was evening. It was morning. Day three. God spoke, lights come out. Shine in the heaven sky. Separate day from night. Mark seasons and days and years. Lights in the heaven sky to give light to the earth. And there it was. God made two big lights. The larger to take charge of the day. The smaller be in charge of night. He made the stars, and God placed them in the heavenly sky to light up the earth and oversee the day and night to separate light and dark. God saw it was good. It was evening. It was morning. Day four. God spoke, swarm ocean with fish and all sea life. Birds fly through the sky over earth. God created the huge whales. All the swarm of life in the waters, every kind of species of flying bird. He saw it was good. God blessed them. Prosper. Reproduce. Those are creating words. Fill the ocean. Birds reproduce on earth. It was evening, morning, day five. God spoke, earth, generate life. Every sort of kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds. And there it was, wild animals of every kind, cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. God saw it was good. God spoke. Let us make human beings in our image and make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish of the sea and the birds in the air and the cattle. And yes, earth itself and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. He blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish and the birds in the air. For every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Then God said, I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on the earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree given to them to you for food. To all the animals and birds, everything that moves and breathes, I give you whatever grows out of the ground for food. And there it was. God looked over everything He had made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening and it was morning, day six. All those words produced, created from nothing. The words coming out of God's mouth creates. So here's some questions. Do you think that God has gotten less powerful, less able, less strong, and less creative over the years? Do you think that our God's abilities have waned in the least over time? Do you think that God's arm is too short to help you? The answer to that is a resounding and emphatic no. Listen to this in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and the sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, no shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes. That's God. That means he is still able to speak words of creation. In fact, every word he speaks creates. He's still able to do that. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is eternally changeless always, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalms 94:14, the Lord will not reject his people, but he will not abandon his special possessions. So if he's not going to abandon us, and he still speaks with all the power that he's ever spoke from, why are we ever controlled by our circumstances or what happens to us? Romans 8:28, for we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Now, every one of us can think about things in our life that aren't going well. And we can get caught up in dwelling upon that. Or we can remind ourselves of what God has already done. Remember what God has already done. And that he never changes. And he never fails. And he doesn't weaken. His strength has never waned. Why would we be concerned about the things that are pressing in the natural? Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Kind of makes the last 10 days convict some of us, right? The Dominion repair crew that finally started working in our neighborhood started to dread the black convertible that rode around asking them about their progress. Why was I so concerned? Well, we're human. We have human things we get used to, and when those things aren't there, we react, we respond. I had to work last month's compassion series on a moment-by-moment basis. My wife said, now remember what you preached about. Now remember what you preached about. Remember what you preached about. But just to keep me from flying off the handle. But see, our God will continue to create in us and for us. In the Old Testament, when the children of God were heading to the land of promise, they found themselves in quite a quandary. Moses sent out some men to check out the land before they entered it, to get the lay of the land, so to speak. And we read about this in Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 25, and it goes through chapter 14, verse 10. Maybe it'll be familiar to you. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel of Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that had been taken from the land. Some of you maybe even seen pictures of them carrying a batch of grapes on this big log on their shoulder. I don't know if that's actually what happened or not, but that's the visual we have. The bunch of grapes was as big as I am. You can see that. So they came back and said, listen, it's a bountiful. We entered the land you sent us to explore. It is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful. The towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go in at once and take the land, he said. Caleb and Joshua were both full of what God could do. But Caleb tried to quiet the people before, as they stood before Moses. Let's go take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread out this bad report about the land among the Israelites. And you know what happens when rumors start? By the time it gets somewhere else, it is far less accurate than it ever was. Happened then too. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants here, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Chapter 4, the 14, verse 1. Then the whole community began weeping out loud, and they cried all night. They allowed this report to destroy them. They cried all night. Their voices rose up in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If we'd only died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves. Let's get a new leader and go back to Egypt. You know, the more you feed that mess, the more it gets out of control. And all of a sudden, the little bit of fear becomes something that you're consumed with. And every thought you have comes from that basis of fear. Then Moses and Aaron fell down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men that explored the land, Joshua and Caleb, tore their clothing. They were so distraught at what the people of God were doing. After the people of God had seen God do amazing things, handle all that. Why would he not be able to handle this? They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. I love this verse. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. All of a sudden, the power of God was evident. If that had been me, I would have shown them a small portion and say, you doubters, I've got more. But no, the power of God was visible. So let's bring that home just a bit. There's so many of you, maybe here in the building or maybe online or maybe those that will watch it later, that are going through hard times. Times you never considered walking. And you might be fearful. It might be financial. It might be relational. It might be job related. It might be storm related. It might be future related. See, it could be anything. Anything that the enemy can cause you to be unsettled with, he will. And if you allow that air, if you give it space, it'll become larger than it ever was. And you will see things way out of proportion. And it will cause you to retreat even more. So the big question is, whose report will you believe? Listen, the enemy wants you to think that you're stuck in the place that you're in today forever, and that God has stopped his creative power towards you and toward your situation. The enemy would love for you to think that those people or circumstances that are against you are more powerful than he is. But not so. Not so. Let me ask you some questions. Do you feel locked into the natural situation that you're in and feel that there's no way out? If you feel that way, remember God's creative power. Don't let God's creative power be smaller than that thing that's trying to haunt you. Another question, are you discouraged or depressed at your current station in life? If so, remember God's creative power. Maybe you've experienced loss in life. Remember God's creative power. Is the enemy reminding you of your past? Remember God's creative power. Are things going poorly in your life right now? Remember God's creative power. Have you settled for the same old, same old? Remember God's creative power. Whose report are you going to believe? Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm going to remember what God has done. He doesn't have to do it exactly like that. He certainly can. But what I found with God, He does over and above what I expect of Him. We can't even dream up all the things that God wants to do for us. The challenge today is to believe the Lord's report and trust in His creative power to restore. We were so happy when our power was restored. When the power was restored, the work started. Our house had extension cords everywhere, running from the generator that's outside. I never bought so much gas in my whole life as the last 10 days. But the work began to start then. The lights are on. Now you bring order. It took us a couple days just to get to where we were before the storm. Not to mention we've got to go forward. So what if we forget about the restoration and take for granted the restoration of power and go about life leaving all the cords in the house, everything in disarray? What kind of life is that? Far too often we forget what's been restored in our life. And we go on life as though it had never been restored. So whose report are you going to believe? Whose report? Are you going to believe what the enemy wants you to believe? Are you going to allow him to beat you down and keep you down and cause you to forget what God has done? Listen to Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 6. Nevertheless, and I want you to take these words as God speaking prophetically to your life. Nevertheless, the time will come when I will heal Jerusalem's wounds, give it prosperity and true peace. I will restore the fortunes of Judah and Israel and rebuild their towns. I will cleanse them of their sins against me and forgive all their sins of rebellion. Then this city will bring me joy, glory, and honor before all the nations of the earth. The people of the world will see all the good that I do for my people, and they will tremble with awe at the peace and prosperity that I provide for them. This is what the Lord says. You have said, this is a desolate land where your people and animals have all disappeared. Yet in the empty streets of Jerusalem and Judah and other towns, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and laughter. The joyful voices of the bridegrooms and the brides will be heard again, along with the joyous songs of people bringing thanksgiving offerings to the Lord. They will sing, "Give thanks to the Lord of heaven's army, for the Lord is good. His faithful love endures forever. For I will restore the prosperity of this land to what it was in the past, says the Lord. Whatever the enemy has robbed from you, God is able to restore." Think about that. Whatever has been robbed of you, the God of creation, the creative God that He is, can restore. And then what I've found, He restores even better. How many times do we spend so much time and energy moaning about what we've lost, forgetting what God has done, and limiting what He can do because we're not even open to it? See, God wants to bless you. But He doesn't just bless you just for it. He wants us to recognize the source. Think about that. What has been restored to you that you haven't rejoiced to God over. I can tell you that we never have thanked God for our electricity more this time than ever before. Every breath we took. Yeah, the house is a mess, but thank God we got power. Yes, the water's still on, but thank God it's hot. You know, all those things is at the tip of our tongues. Now, what can happen is the farther you get from that problem that was just rectified, the less likely we are to stay in this time of rejoicing. But God is continually, I mean continually, restoring into your life. And He wants you to notice so that you can start giving out of that. If you're in need of a creative miracle today, this is how we're going to end. Mike, would you go ahead? This is how we're going to end today. If you need to experience God's creative power in your life, if you've got things that are in disarray that you need to see really come together, I want you to just to come forward, facing the front. We're going to leave this part open.